3, 4.
Everybody, welcome to another trip in the car. We're back. This is an appropriate car recording because I'm gonna tell a little tale about a trip I took last weekend. Did a little road trip, the great American road trip of America, USA Eagles, something like that. Went about 850 miles, most of it in 2 days or so, with Allison was with me co-piloting, and, you know, not panicking overly much when I would be trying to eat super rope in the car, and, you know, I would snap the super rope, which would make me jerk the wheel. So we started out, you know, it was terrible, too, because I gotta say, like, 850 miles doesn't sound that far, but it's pretty fucking far. And in addition, as we drove, you know, from Mobe, Utah, back to Denver, there are pretty much signs, I would say, about every 30 feet, informing you how much further you have to go, which is terrible. Like, for me, it really helps driving if I can kind of zone out or talk about something or, sing badly off-key songs the whole way. That way I can just, you know, the time just sort of drifts away. But if there's a sign, you know, that says Denver, 400 miles, and then I think, motherfucker, that's going to be a long way, so I, you know, turn up the radio, and then go another 10 feet, and there's a sign that says Denver, 448 miles. You're like, holy shit. I mean, it would be literally like if you had someone sitting in the seat next to you just counting down the miles the entire time, you know? When we were kids, I used to always ask, how are we there yet? How much further? All that annoying kid stuff, you know? And my mom sort of just came up with this thing where she always, regardless of how much time we had, she would say 15 minutes. You know, that became kind of the big joke, like we were in Yellowstone. We'd be an hour away from something. I'd say, how long do you think it's going to take to get there? She'd say, I don't know, 15 minutes. And she always just says, I felt like that seemed like a neutral amount of time, you know? Maybe you wouldn't notice if it was five times as long as that. Or, you know, I could just say, oh, I thought it was going to be 15, and it wasn't. These things happen, guys. So we set off on Friday morning. You know, to head up to, our first stop was Grand Junction, you know, our first stop on this whirlwind tour, because I had to give a talk about comic books, you know, because this is my career now. But we did stop actually in Glenwood Springs, which is a nice little place where it seems like the primary purpose of it at one time was hot springs and is now to have a very confusing intersection for people to get through to get into town. That, you know, it doesn't, you know, you have to drive, you kind of have to drive in through the town, past Doc Holliday's grave, and then turn around somewhere. So we go to town and we just have a lunch, you know, and pretty uneventful, except for a couple people, a couple key characters. We were having lunch, sitting at this nice outdoor patio. And there was this table behind us with, you know how sometimes you're at a lunch and there's a person there who you start listening to and then you can't not listen to anymore? Like, you can't stop listening to them because they're just entrancing in their stupidness? That's kind of what this lady was like. Like, the first thing she did, the waitress comes up and is like, are you ready to order and all that? And she says, tell me about your veggie burger. Which I found very annoying immediately. Because what kind of question is that? That's not a real question. It's just sort of a start of a question, right? I mean, you can't just say, what did she want to know? Just ask what you want to know. Do you want to know what it's made of? What shape it's in? Is it square like a Wendy's veggie burger would be if they ever did such a thing? Or is it round and tiny and squished like a McDonald's hamburger, sweating? Is it like a Burger King hamburger with fake char lines on it? What's it like? Give me a basis of comparison. But no, she did not ask those questions. She just said, tell me about it. Which, I mean, maybe she expected, because I have to say, every fucking place that I've been to lately, doesn't matter what it is. Restaurant, brewery, bar, toy store, fucking yarn store. You'll be confronted at some point with a card or a paper that says, our story. You know what I mean? And then it says, well, we started in whatever year, and we did all this shit, and that's how we came to be what we are today. It's fucking endless, man. You don't need a story. If your story is not incredible, if your story doesn't involve, like, well, our founder was out, he got struck by fucking lightning, and that's what gave him this idea, and he had electric superpowers, I mean, that's a story. That's a story. But when you say our story, I mean, you know, it's like when someone says, oh, how'd you meet your wife? And you just say, well, you know, we met through mutual friends. And we just got along. You know, that's not really a story. Feel free to just tell me about your most interesting date or something. I don't know. I don't really care about how did you meet? Oh, like everybody meets. Good one. Thank you. I'm so glad that we had this conversation together. Wow. So anyway, you know, she's like, tell me about the veggie burger. And then the waitress kind of, I couldn't tell if the waitress was also pissed about the question or if she was just the worst waitress, but she was just said, it's pretty much like every other veggie burger, which is probably true. I mean, I had the non-veggie burger and it was pretty much like every other non-veggie burger. So it stands to reason the veggie burger is like the other veggie burgers. But nevertheless, I mean, if I was the manager of that restaurant and someone asked about the food and my waitress said, it's like every other fucking place. You know, I'd say, oh, okay, well, I guess you could work at every other place then. Because they're all the same. You don't need me. I don't need you. She also was talking about Adele, the singer Adele. And I guess Adele's doing the song for the new James Bond movie. Which, aren't we excited about that? So we can see more pictures of watches in Esquire magazine. That's going to be exciting. So she was, you know, talking about it, and she's like, I heard the song, and, you know, her friends were like, well, what's it like? You brought it up. I assume you have something to say about it. And all she said was, well, it's sort of Adele-y and sort of James Bond-y. Which, again, you know, bravo. I mean, if you had, if I, not even knowing that that was happening, and you wanted me to guess what the Adele James Bond song was like, if I had to use two words with a dash Y on the end to describe it, I would probably say Adele and James Bondy. I mean, just as fucking shots in the dark type of guesses if I had to. I don't know why someone would be asking. Why would you fucking bring that up if that's all the insight you had about it? If all you had to say about it was, you know these things? I mean, what's macaroni and cheese like? Well, it's macaroni-y and cheesy. Oh, okay. Well, hey, shit. I'm so glad you were here for me to speak with and converse and exchange ideas and things. People are so crazy. So then we decided to head to a coffee shop to, you know, get some on the road, pick me up, whatever. And real weird lady working there. Real fucking weirdo. Go up to the counter. And she is, you know, busying herself behind the counter, doing whatever it is you do at a coffee shop behind the counter. I don't know. Putting the grinds in a bag for someone to pick up for their dumb garden. And before she helps us, she grabs, like, a stool, a full height, like a bar stool, swings it over towards the register and puts it next to the register, and then, like, picks up her one leg and perches it atop the thing. You know, like, she's just getting a real nice crotch stretch going there while she's going to help us on the register. And it's not like she had a gimpy leg and she was pulling it over to sit on while she was doing a transaction. No. She was just perching her leg on there, so we got a nice, nice shot of that crotch and the inner thigh, the lower inner thigh, all that shit. I mean, what is that? What is that move that she's doing there? I don't even understand the maneuver and what she was going for. Then she was also one of these, like, aggressive-ish owners of a place where she's really into telling you everything, you know. So I say, oh, well, I have coffee. And then I said, she said, anything else? And I said, can we have a brownie? Is that a brownie? I couldn't tell if this thing was a brownie or cake. And even in eating it later, I have to say, I was not sure if it was a brownie or cake. I mean, it may have been cake, and she was just like, yeah, fuck it. They're not going to know. What are they going to do, return it? And be like, this is clearly cake. I'm not really sure. I mean, if I eat one, I usually know the difference between a brownie and cake. So this means that this was either a great piece of cake or a terrible brownie. But either way, I couldn't return it to the store or anything. I don't have so much confidence where I feel like I could say, clearly, madam, because of XYZ, this is a piece of cake, which you sold to us as a brownie. So I said, do you have a brownie? And she, oh my God. I'm looking at a truck right now, and on the back written in soap is just married, JustMerid. Great. Good one. It also has a Browning Rifles sticker, so, you know, I wish, I would just hate to own a company, you know, I own Browning, and I'm like, oh, we're so proud of our products, you know, we make quality firearms for the hunting man, and then I see it on amongst Just Married, spelled not even remotely, I mean, the wrong vowels in all places, one R, looks like shit also. And it's just smashed over on one side. It doesn't even cover the window. Anyway. So I say, is that a brownie? The lady says, I've got brownies. I've got cookies. I've got Rice Krispie treats. I have ice cream. I've got, you know, and she's going on and on and on. And she's saying all this stuff while she's making up the coffees. And she makes up the coffees and sets them on the counter. And then she says, all right, is that everything for you? And I was like, am I getting the brownie? Because she didn't get the brownie yet, you know, and I was like, wait a minute. So when I asked for a brownie and you proceeded to list everything on the menu, that didn't, you know, it didn't occur to you to say, do you want that brownie? Or you thought it was more important to tell me every option, and then you were just going to not sell the brownie. You were going to just have the brownie sitting there. I mean, what the fuck? What was the sales plan? You know, it's not like she's trying to upsell. I mean, once I said, I pretty much had to demand the brownie. And at that point, she tried to upsell me and said, do you want ice cream on the brownie? Which I was like, not really. I mean, it's a nice offer. But, you know, we're going in the car. I'm not going to get a ice cream covered brownie. So, you know, we get the brownie. We get on our way. We go through Grand Junction, which I don't really care for. I don't know, it's kind of boring. I mean, Grand Junction, I thought, you know, was going to be this nice mountain town. It has a nice little downtown, but it's really strip mall-y and stuff. I don't understand what happens there, really, or what was happening there. That is no... There are a lot of Colorado towns that are, you know, crappy because they used to be a mining town, say, or they used to be the center of the railroads or whatever. But that one, I don't even know what its history is, really. It's just a place. Just some fucking place where people go to hang out, I guess. So then we were on our way to Utah. Now, we had a problem. Because the original plan I had was to basically go up, stay in Grand Junction, and come home. However, every motel in Grand Junction was booked. You know, with the exception of those kind of hotels that are $300 suite rooms for no reason. Which, by the way, they should start calling the suite. They should just spell it S-W-E-E-T. This room is sweet. Not like a suite. room. Because I'm not even sure what that means either. I mean, it seems to mean that it's more like an apartment, a mini apartment. Which is also crazy, because I gotta believe if you have enough money that you're gonna stay in a suite at a hotel, why are you cooking for yourself instead of just eating out for every meal? You know what I mean? I would rather stay in a mediocre room and eat out every meal than be like, oh yeah, well, don't forget to pack dry pasta and rice and flour, because we'll be staying in the suite, so we want to take advantage of this nice kitchen. Ugh, God. Driving is fucking terrible, man. Everybody passes you, and then they go a half a mile slower than you. Anyway, so everything was booked. So we could not stay in Grand Junction for the night, is the point. And I was like, well, okay, let's look at the options. Takes about 5 hours to drive there. We could turn around and go straight back home, but that would be a crazy thing to do, right? I mean, that's not going to... No one's going to be happy about that, myself included. So I thought to myself, you know, we're only a short jump from Moab, Utah. We could simply go there and go see Arches, which I've never seen before. That could be real fun. So, oh, and I found out, by the way, because I was like, Grand Junction, why is it booked on just a Friday in October? Well, they're having a bike race. You know, some... Get your butt over the cuts. Bike race or something. You know, they all have these cute names and the worst looking fucking t-shirts, by the way. Every 5K, every bike race. Oh my God. You guys really need to work on your t-shirts because they look like shit. I mean, they look like shirts that you would wear for the race. You know what I mean? And no one wears them during the race, really. So I don't understand what it's... I mean, it's basically you wear it after the race to... run in, you know, and get yellow pit sweat in because you don't give a shit about it. God forbid you guys make one nice shirt that's wearable, you know, has a nice logo and doesn't have TCBY yogurt on the back and all that bullshit. So bike race ruins the plans, but whatever. We'll head to Moab, Utah. So I figure we'll go there, stay a couple nights, blah, blah. Well, that was also a problem. I could find a place for Friday night, but Saturday night, I could not find a place. And after the Grand Junction incident, I decided to just Google, you know, Moab, Utah, October 6th, and see what came up. And guess what came up, friends? A fucking bicycle race. What the fuck? How many fucking bike races are going on? And by the way, how can you have a big bike race on a random day and have another bike race on the same day 2 hours away? I mean, 2 hours doesn't seem like that far to travel for a epic bike race. You know what I mean? And what the fuck? Where do the rest of us non-bike riders go? Jesus Christ. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what happens in these towns, right? So we get to our motel, the Inca Inn. Now, let me tell you something about the Inca Inn. It was fine. However, first thing, they have their big sign, you know, it's like a normal motel sign, and underneath that, they have a full graphic designed, lit up from the inside sign that shows the TripAdvisor logo and the Inca Inn's TripAdvisor rating, which is 4 dots out of 5, 4 owl eyes, I don't know. I mean, that's, I gotta say, a weakness of the TripAdvisor there. Because we're all used to hearing stars. I mean, I guess there's no reason that stars are inherently better than dots. Maybe because that's what you get on papers in school, you know? Your teacher doesn't put a sticker that looks like a dot when you did a great job on a fucking stupid fractions math assignment. Which she should, because then she could cut it into different shapes depending on how good of a job you did, and then you'd learn a little bit more about fractions. If you got a whole dot, you did 100%. You know, if you got a sliver of a dot, you were fucked. The paper probably says, see me after class. Which I always did not do. I was like, no, I don't think so. I understand the sentiment of see me after class. I mean, what are you going to tell me once I get there that I don't understand right now? I fucked up. What are you going to say? You fucked up, but in nice words because I'm a kid? Go fuck yourself. So anyway, they have a permanent sign that shows their rating, which is confusing to me, because if their rating changes, which it could, I guess, what are they going to do? Are they going to get a new sign or just keep the old sign? And if they were just going to keep the old sign, you know, if I own that, I would regret not just putting all five dots. I'd be like, well, fuck it. Let's just put five dots then. What's the difference? And, you know, we get in there, and it's one of these, like, Motor Lodge-type motels, right, where you pull up basically to your front door and just go in the front door. Which I've learned, one of my favorite hobbies is reading TripAdvisor-type reviews of places, or, you know, Travelocity, or whatever that shit, Yelp. Because some people are so fucking picky about things, you know. Some people will say, oh my god, there's not an internal hallway that I go through. Which, to me, I don't know why that's such a big deal. I mean, I guess maybe someone could break into your room, but I don't understand why no one could break into your room if you have an internal hallway. It doesn't seem like anyone's really monitoring who goes in and out of hotels. I've not been to one hotel where one time I've been stopped, like, an excuse me, but do you have a room key or something? I mean, you don't have to do any of that. The fanciest hotels to the shittiest, they all just kind of give you a wave, like, hey, thanks for staying here. I've never seen you before, but that's fine. So, you know, seems more like an illusion of security to me. Probably less secure, right? Because no one would see. So we get there, check in. The room was fine. However, there were a couple weird things in there. For one thing, there is what I'm sure, I'm 100% certain, was a beer opener attached, like a professional style that you'd see at a bar, beer opener attached to the window frame in the bathroom. You know, and at first, of course, you're thinking, all right, this is one of those things where they had blinds and you could wrap the blinds cord on this. Oh, no. No, because for one thing, it was on the wrong side of the window. And number two, there was nothing to wrap the blinds around. It was a beer opener. It was definitely a beer opener. Which made me question why? First of all, why is there a beer opener in here? Secondly, why, if it's going to be a beer opener in the room, why would it be there? You know what I mean? So, you know, but all I could come up with is maybe people were, like, using the edge of the table to smack their beer. You know, people do that trick and the cap goes flying off. Maybe people were fucking up the counter in the bathroom or something doing that. I don't know. Maybe they had a frequent guest. Maybe it's just that one room. And they have a guest every year who's terrorizing the room by opening beers in odd ways, you know? I have no fucking idea what was going on in there, but it was a disaster. So anyway, I mean, that was a strange find. And it was weird, too, because I was thinking, if I got in here and had a beer, like, if we'd had beers the night before, I wouldn't have even known that was there. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have been aware of its presence until it was far too late, because I think it was the shower the next morning. I guess if I'd had a beer to open, I would have opened it on there. But it's weird too, like, excuse me, I'm just going to go to the bathroom and open a beer. They also had a funny thing in there. Oh, and, you know, they had this funny thing that was like their little how'd we do paper. And basically, here's what they did. The analogy I thought of was, if you've seen the movie 8 Mile, right, where it's Eminem doing rap battles, and basically how these rap battles go is, you know, I get up and I say, your mom's a slut, she's got a big butt, put it in the cut, stuff like that. I just make rhyming shit about you and your mom and how you're shitty, and then you go and do the same thing and we go back and forth. So at the end of 8 Mile, what Eminem does, because basically his life is complete shit, is he just goes up and instead of making fun of the other guy, mostly just makes fun of himself. Just says how he's shitty and he lives in a trailer with his mom and all that. And so then, you know, the end of it, he's like, all right, well, let's see what you got to say about me now that I already said everything and did a really nice job. He says it nicer than that, but whatever. That's kind of what this motel did with its welcome letter, or its how'd we do letter, because at the top it's got this long thing that's sort of like, thanks for staying at the Inca Inn. We know we're not the biggest hotel. We know we don't have the biggest pool. We know, you know, we try and make our rooms as clean as possible, but there's only so clean that you can get a room. We have only a limited number of towels. You know what I mean? It just goes on and on. And at some point, it's like, you know, if someone did a Match.com thing that said this, you'd be like, buddy, listen, slow down, okay? I mean, there's plenty of time for someone to discover their flaws on your own without you pointing them out. Although I really do suspect they were just doing that because they figured, well, if I point out my own flaws, you know, then I won't have to hear them from our guests. That's all I could think of. I did fill out the comment card of what could we improve, and I said, how about if you're going to have a beer lid opener in the room, you put it, like, not in the bathroom. You know, anywhere really but the bathroom. Or, if it's going to be in the bathroom, how about you make it so I can reach it from the toilet or the bathtub? I mean, we don't need to get grotesque about it, but if I'm in there and I'm not in the shower, the tub, or the toilet, what am I doing in there besides opening a beer? You might as well make it convenient to one of those locations, right? You know, and they also had a... when you get in the lobby, I mean, so they have their TripAdvisor sign outside, right? And then you go in the lobby and they have a computer, which I don't know what that's for, like facing for people to use, but it's at their desk, their reservation desk. So you'd be standing there using a computer, staring down a guy like 8 inches away. And that computer, the homepage, is set to the Inca Inn's TripAdvisor homepage. You know? Like, what's going on? They're fucking obsessed with TripAdvisor. This is merely the beginning. Every restaurant had a TripAdvisor. You know, we went to, like, a brewery, and they had a TripAdvisor thing in their menu. Built in to the middle of the menu. You know, it's like specials. Don't forget to find us on TripAdvisor and all this shit. So we go out to breakfast the next morning. Now, Moab, pretty nice. I liked it. Lots of places to eat. Lots of people out on a Friday night. I mean, we got in pretty late, 9:30, and everything seemed wide open, and people were there. So that was cool. So, okay, all the motels are booked. I mean, we got there Friday night, and the guy, the first thing he said was not find us on TripAdvisor, so you know it was serious. The first thing he said was, I hope you have reservations, because, man, we are booked solid, you know? And I was like, don't worry, we do. So it's very busy weekend in Moab, you know. We can't stay there the second night because it's so fucking busy. So we go to breakfast, and it's this place where they give you a menu, and you kind of decide what you want, and then order at the counter and sit down, and they bring it out. So I'm looking at the menu, and there's this thing, and it's like homemade bagel sandwich. Homemade bagel, our, you know, famous homemade bagel. And, you know, when I go to a restaurant, I kind of like to eat whatever their our famous thing is, because I figure, why not? If that's what they're famous for, let's find out. Because anybody can make an old scrambled egg, right? So I'm like, I'm going to get that homemade bagel. We go up to the lady to order, and I say, I'll have the bagel sandwich. And she says, you know, oh, man, we're out of bagels. And I said, oh, really? Now, this is 10:30 on a Saturday morning. You know, and it's a super busy weekend in Moab, which I presume that if you run a restaurant, you'd be aware of, right? Like, if there's an event, you'd say, oh, we're going to be busy. Make a little extra. But, you know, she's like, we're all out, which I was like, oh, man, you know, but I didn't throw a fit or something. I wasn't like, let's get the fuck out of here. I was just, I had picked a thing from the menu and committed to it, and now I was going to have to renege on the deal and pick something else. So I say, all right, well, you know, ah, shit, or whatever. And then she kind of goes, she's like, well, look, we sold out this morning. And she holds up the stack of receipts that was sitting next to the register, which apparently are the bagel receipts that she keeps on hand for just such an incident of someone complaining that, you know, they didn't make enough bagels or doesn't. I don't believe that she sold out of bagels. I think she's hoarding them at her own restaurant. For God knows why, you know. And I was like, you know, that's fine, you know. And she's like, I mean, we just sold out right away. I made 30 this morning. 30. Now, I don't know how many bagels, if I owned a restaurant, I don't know how many bagels I would make on a Saturday morning, right? But if I was offering a bagel as an option, and they were our famous homemade bagels, I think I would make more than 30. I mean, I would just like for you to close your eyes and imagine you live in a world where you own a restaurant, a breakfast brunch place, and you have bagels. How many would you make if you had to make them every day? Would you make 30? And how many fucking times are people coming up and saying, do you have any more bagels? And they have to say no. Wouldn't you want to be, like, once a week someone asks? I mean, that means you're making the right. They've got to have people asking every fucking day. Where do you have any more bagels? No, I made 5. You know, it's a Thursday, so I made 1. Are you making 1 bagel on, like, a Tuesday? Because if this is a Saturday and it's busy as fuck and you made 30, what the hell, man? You know, so I was just a little bit... I wish she hadn't told me she only made 30. Or she had said, we only made 30. But she took it as, like, well, we made 30. I mean, if 30 is not enough to satisfy the populace, how can I be expected to keep up with these, you know, starving, enraged people? 30. 30 bagels. Good God. That's like 15 tables of people, right? Most people could eat 2 bagels if they really wanted to. Nevertheless, had breakfast. It's fine. We go back in. There's like a little gift shop, you know. So Allison was looking for a gift for a roommate, and Allison decided to nicely inform this lady, oh, we had a nice breakfast. I like your restaurant. Nice thing to say. And then the lady says, oh, thanks. Do you follow us on TripAdvisor? Do you use TripAdvisor? Which, again, I was like, enough with the fucking TripAdvisor already, first of all. And secondly, I mean... We just had a bagel incident. You know, we had the bagel incident of 2012 where you did not understand. I'm sorry, I'm losing my track here because these fucking trucks. I don't know why trucks decide to pass things. It's like they decide to just try and then they're like, oh, I can't make it. Ah, damn it. Anyway, but we had the bagel incident of 2012, you know, 20 minutes before. And then she has the nerve, the audacity to say, oh, find us on TripAdvisor, why don't you give us a 5-star? To which I'm like, why don't you go fuck yourself with that shit? I mean, come on. I'm not gonna give a 5-star rating to a restaurant that makes 30 goddamn bagels on the most crowded Saturday in Moab history of Octobers. You know what I mean? That's not a 5-star. I'm sorry. It doesn't even matter how good it was, whatever I got, even if what I got was better. That's not 5 stars, because you ran out. You're not supposed to run out. That's the point. You run a restaurant. Make some more, bitch! When you make 30 and you get down to 2, and you're going to be open for 8 more hours, maybe make another batch. I don't know. I mean, if I was making bagels, I would think it would behoove me to make more than 30 just purely from a time standpoint. And you know what you do? You bag them up, and then you just sell them. You know, have a bagel. Take some bagels with you. Why not? Or, you know, you just give them away. Why not? That's a 5-star rating right there. Someone just gave me a bagel. Anyway, so then we went to Arches, you know, National Park, where there are arches and things made out of stone. Which, first of all, you know, people cannot fucking drive in there at all. I mean, there's curvy road and whatever, but the speed limit's like a very reasonable 45, and people are going like 20. And slamming on the brakes at every turn and blah, blah, blah. So we get to the trail. You know, and after doing some internet research before leaving, both came to the conclusion that this would be a fairly easy... I wouldn't even call it a hike. I'd call it a walk. I mean, there are points where you're walking at a grade. I wouldn't want to wear high heels. But, I mean, I was wearing Converse sneakers and jeans, and I was totally fine. However, you get there and everyone's wearing like their technical climbing gear. You know what I mean? Their wickaway shirts and their khaki shorts and their cargo khaki whatever that's got a fibrous mesh inside. It's probably like deflects bullets as it pulls the sweat away from you or something. I don't know. It's cactus proof. What was really funny too, you'd see like a dad, right? And he'd be all decked out. I mean, he looked sort of... What's weird too, like you see an outdoors catalog. And the people in there look kind of silly, but they don't look that bad. But then you see, like, this guy, and you're like, you look like a fucking idiot. Like, maybe what you need to do is wear one or two elements of the outdoor catalog and then normal clothes, like a normal shirt or something. I mean, the thing is, I totally get it, right? You're hiking a 14,000-foot mountain. You're going to be on the trail for 9 hours. Yeah. You know, you can't just bring a change of clothes. But, I mean, this hike was less than 3 miles total, you know, and the weather was perfect. I don't know. I mean, the worst thing that would happen is maybe it would start raining and you could run down in less than 20 minutes. I think you'd be fine. So we start going up, you know, and everybody's dressed like an animal. And also, I mean, there's very different levels of preparation. You know, as we were coming off the trail, we saw a family coming up that seemed to sort of want to fit into the crowd, but almost made it worse by trying to blend, because the dad was, you know, had a hiking stick, a walking stick, which I don't really know. I mean, you see these people with these sticks, and I'm not entirely sure how helpful that is or whatever, or what the point of it is. It just seems like just another thing where you're like, I would like to hike. I like that as a hobby. But I also like stuff and equipment. And this is not really an equipment-heavy hobby because it's just walking, really. You know, so you're like, well, there are a few things I can get, like a walking pole, which is a stick, by the way. Just a stick. But this guy had a ski pole, you know, and he's out front walking with his family. And then in the back was one of his kids who was walking while looking at an iPad. You know, and he's just starting the trail, and he's, like, looking down at the iPad. I don't know what he's doing, but it's not really appropriate for the situation. I'll tell you that right now. So he's looking at his fucking iPad. Also, a lot of people with camelbacks, which I don't really... I'm not into that. And the reason being, I don't know what the big advantage is over a water bottle, really. Like, okay, it's on your back, so you don't have to... What? I mean, so you have a straw that comes to your face. You know, you're like, I'm hiking. I'm doing the most physical thing I've ever done in my life. I cannot bend down and get something out of a backpack. I just have to have the straw right next to my face. You know, I don't know. I mean, the camelback sort of came out, and I feel like everyone was real jazzed about it. But I don't really know. And it's like, how do you clean it out? And then, oh, it's impossible. You know, you just hope you don't get any backwash in there because it's fucking impossible. And then you see, too, like a dad's wearing the camelback and his kid's like, I'm thirsty. So the dad's like leaning down at this awkward angle, just standing there leaned over while the kid's drinking, you know, like he's a human drinking fountain. It's very demeaning looking. You know, we get to the arch. That's cool. There's also, I mean, it's fun because there's a lot of... people there who don't seem like they normally do this sort of thing. There's like two guys helping a grandma up the trail, you know, moving very slowly, one on each arm, advising her every step, which I was like, this is gonna be a long fucking walk. They also seem to have like a retarded sister with them. So I was like, this is a real motley crew. I mean, this is not my first choice if I had an Everest crew that I was putting together. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's, like, these blown-out biker ladies when we get to the top. And we were sitting at one point on this sort of rock. And behind us, you know, there's... You can't really tell what's back there. And she's like, what's back there? And we're like, I don't really know. And she's like, do you think there's a good view? And it's like, I don't know. And she's like, all right, well, I guess I'll go up this 10 feet. But I don't really want to. You know what I mean? And you're just like, all right. I mean, this is going to be... This is your life now. You're going to just be doing this kind of shit? Where there's like a group of gangster kids walking up. I also, so I had a camera, a film camera. It's just a cheap, shitty camera because I lost my camera in New York and decided I can no longer have nice things. So I bought a real shitty film camera that's just plastic. No flash, no nothing. So I was trying to take this like twine that I had in my trunk to make like a little, I don't know what you'd call it, a bandolier for it. A strap. So I wouldn't have to carry it. Probably spent 10 minutes doing that, and it was unsuccessful, and then just said, fuck it, and carried it. Which is perfect, because I had one picture left. I didn't even look at it. It took one picture, and then I was like, ah, shit, I'm out of film. So it's like, good thing we spent, you know, 20 goddamn minutes of me trying to get this thing all ready to go. Yeah, so then, you know, we made our way to Vail. Got to Vail, which was nice. So we get a phone call on the way back. You know, we're back in Glenwood getting gas again. Get a phone call from the lady who works at the place we're staying, the Minturn Inn, you know, this tiny little place, which turned out to be a bed and breakfast, which I didn't really know. I'm not really into bed and breakfast, to be honest, because I don't know. I mean, I think for the most part, I'll either eat a tiny breakfast at wherever I'm at, you know what I mean? Like at the hotel. If they have a shitty bagel breakfast, I'll just have that. Or, you know, I'm on vacation. I'll go find a breakfast. That's part of the fun, right? But it turned out fine because, you know, neither day we were there did we wake up early enough. The only thing we caught was the ghostly aroma of bacon. As far as breakfast goes, that was as close as breakfast got. I did, so we get a call, and it's a lady, and she's like, oh, great news, I'm going to upgrade you, you know what I mean, to some other room, which I was like, that's fantastic, you know, and she's like, it's got a jetted water tub or whatever, private hot tub, water tub thing, which was great. I mean, of course I did not use that, you know, neither of us used it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big bath guy. It was basically a bath with jets in it, right? I'm not really into baths so much. So, you know, to get in the jetted hot bathtub is kind of a scheme, right? I mean, what? It's not. I don't know. Maybe you just know that you're a lazy man when you're like, I don't know, seems like a lot of work to fill up a bathtub. You know what I mean? Fill it with water? You kidding me here? I don't know how long a bathtub. It was a big bathtub. Two people could have sat in it, you know, if you sat feet to feet or whatever. I don't know how you describe that. If you were facing off with each other, toasting champagne, I mean, you could have sat in there, two people, pretty easy. But, you know, I don't know how long it takes to fill a bathtub like that, but I do know that it's too long for me to wait. That's what I know about myself and about the dimensions of the bathtub, for sure. So we get there, we get the upgrade, you know, and this place is so fucking small. Here's how you know it's small, right? I get the call from the lady. She's like, I usually go home at 5, so I'll just leave the keys on the counter in the inn, you know, and just come on in when you get here. So we get there, they're just sitting on the counter. Another thing about the bed and breakfast that's not so great, you know, you get in there, but you feel like it's like you're sneaking in home when you're 15. It's not like staying at a hotel. Where at a hotel, they seem to be like, hey, you stayed out real late. That's great for you, you know? Glad you have a place to stay. Thanks for staying with us during your debaucheries. Whereas a bed and breakfast, it's a little more, you feel like you're sneaking into your own home when you're like a teenager and you're trying not to wake up mom and dad upstairs. That's kind of what it's like. It's like you're staying with your parents, you know, and it's like, well, they're not going to tell you you can't go out, but they're not going to be pumped about it. Then when you miss breakfast the next day, they're going to be a little bit like, I prepare this whole breakfast for you and you're not into it. You know, where are you? What are you doing? I don't know. There's just some vibe to the bed and breakfast that's sort of like I owe them a little bit of my time somehow that I just don't, doesn't jive with me. You know, you're staying there. You're paying to stay there, right? So we hung out in Vail for a couple days. Fun, nice little place. We went to this thing called Man of the Cliff, which was, you know, it's like one of these outdoors games. Where it's sort of a, you know, lumberjack contest crossed with strongman contest. You know, they're like quick chopping and then throwing a spear and then there's a keg toss or whatever. Apparently this is 2 days long. And you know it's a small town thing. Like, it's not a big event because we were shockingly, devastatingly close to the events at hand. I mean, they're doing quick chop and shards of wood are flying, you know, towards where a baby is just playing in the dirt. And there's just loose dogs all over the place. I mean, when we got there, I was like, where does the actual thing happen? Because it was so small. And then I was like, oh, it happens right where we're standing. Like, this is, you couldn't have been closer to these guys. And, you know, they're all wasted, flailing around with an axe. I mean, it's one of these things that you're like, I'm glad I saw this today, because this has got a limited shelf life, this kind of activity. This cannot go on forever, because someone's going to get killed, right? And at that point, you know, all bets are off, I gotta say. I mean, they're, you know, when someone gets an axe in the face from Man of the Cliff, that's probably the end of Man of the Cliff, right? And then, you know, we were up there with my friend, and I was like, why don't you do this, Man of the Cliff? I mean, that looks fun, but he wisely was like, I don't know, because you're up here for like 2 days, and everyone's wasted, which sounds great. I'm with, you know, first I'm on my side, where I'm like, that sounds so fun. But by the end, we were there for maybe 2 hours, and I had a beer, and by the end, I was on his side. I was like, yeah, this would be getting a little old, and, you know, people are wrestling, and the time between events took longer and longer because everyone was so drunk. So, you know, it was certainly fun, eye-opening experience to go to that sort of thing. It's also a nice time to be in a place like Vail because, you know, everything is, all the restaurants and stuff are all discounted and shit because no one's there, because I guess if you can't ski, what's a person to do? Which I know the answer to, because the day we left in the morning, so we went and got a goddamn bagel at last, got a bagel, and we were sitting by, you know, in Vail Village or whatever, and there's like one statue, and, you know, everyone was stopping by the statue to take pictures. 4 or 5 different groups of people just were like, well, fuck it. I guess we'll take a picture by the statue, because what else are you going to do here? You know what I mean? We're in Vail. I don't know. I don't know what one does here other than take a picture by this statue. And it wasn't even a spectacular statue. It was just a statue. You know, like, another thing, too, I got to say that I don't like about the bed and breakfast, to go back there, since I know we all wanted to, is that, like, the way the room is laid out is always kind of weird. It's like a bedroom. You know, there's a fireplace, which was cool, except for, I mean, I don't know. Fireplace made the room unbelievably warm very quickly. So I don't know. Is fireplace still the most efficient way to heat a room? Because Jesus Christ, seemed like the fireplace was on for 10 minutes and then the room was overly hot the rest of the night. But, you know, the other thing, and, you know, a Zenith TV, which I couldn't even believe. I don't know where they got that. I wasn't sure. I mean, we didn't end up turning it on, so I still don't know if that was a TV or part of, like, the rustic decor. You know what I mean? Was this a actual for viewing things, or was this for just, you know, to fill out the room? You know, they had, like, old, as they do in these types of places, old skis and shit like that, and old fucking snowshoes. Oh, man, if you want to rent out a bed and breakfast, first thing you got to have is a pile of old wooden tennis racket-style snowshoes, right? That seems to be the big ticket item that really proves to everyone that you are opening, in fact, a bed and breakfast where people can stay the night. But the other thing I don't like is, you know, the bedrooms are laid out. They're not laid out like rooms, like a hotel room. They're laid out like bedrooms because that's what they are, you know? So basically the problem that I have with that is it means the toilet is like 5 feet from the bed. You know, where I'm laying my head down at night is about 5 feet from where my butt is releasing poo into a toilet. That's entirely too close. Man, it doesn't need to be that close, does it? I mean, give it some space. Or like most motels, even shitty motels, you have like a turn around the corner or something. Even the Inca Inn, you kind of had a little wall between the bathroom and the bed, and then there, you know, you kind of turn the corner, and then there you are in the bathroom. So this was, you know, being a bed and breakfast, the door just basically opens to the toilet. I mean, the door almost scrapes the toilet as it opens, you know what I mean? I don't know, something about that, I mean, it's not something about that, I do know. You know, I don't like laying my head down as close to where I shit as that. I'd like a little more remove, if at all. I mean, you know, if it's not asking too much. I don't want to, get crazy on anybody here, but I feel comfortable saying that that's something I deserve. Is a little more distance in that instant. Jesus. A little more distance in that instance. Yeah, that's why I had so much trouble. It rhymes. And the dumbness, too. Let's not forget that. So yeah, I don't really recommend any sort of bed and breakfast. And to top it off, like, so, you know, she called and she's like, I upgraded the room and all that. And then, you know, I get the bill and the email. It was time to check out, you know, when we checked out in the morning, and there's no one there. Again, the only thing there to help us check out, the ghostly scent of bacon. And so I'm kind of like, well, I don't know. I guess I'll just fucking leave a key on the counter and just leave, you know. And when we got there, I mean, the door was just wide open. There was nothing that needed to be done or anything. It was just the door was to our room was just open, you know. So I get back there and just leave him a note and everything. And so I get my bill in email, you know, that's like, okay, you know, here's where you stayed and blah, blah, blah. And the bill was for the better room instead of the room we were originally in, which I was confused because I feel like when someone calls you and say, we upgraded you to Jetted Hot Tub Land, I mean, doesn't that generally mean you're going to have to pay for regular non-jetted hot tub land? And if not, I mean, that was my impression anyway. I thought maybe they just figured, hey, we got, you know, these two rooms. We've got fucking jetted hot tub land and not. Doesn't really make that much difference to us. Why not give somebody a treat, you know? But I guess I should know better because no one ever says that, right? Hey, why not give these fuckers a treat? No one's saying that. So, you know, we got charged for the whatever room we stayed in with jetted hot tub, which had I known that, I would have fucking filled up that tub twice just to get the value. Even if I didn't get in it, I'd just sit there drinking a beer watching the hot tub fill up. I mean, if nothing else, for God's sake. Might as well make a night of it, you know, if you're going to go to the trouble and the expense. Jesus Christ. Well, that's probably good, right? I don't know. We hit the time. That's a hard thing with this driving thing. I have no idea if we've hit our time allotment or if I'm just feeling done. But, you know, either way, I'm going to try and trust that instinct from now on. I think that's a good way to go about it, just to say, if you feel it, it's done. You should probably assume it's done. Thanks for listening again. I don't know, keep visiting the website, thehelpfulsnowman.com. Actually, there's no the, just helpfulsnowman.com. I know my own website, you fucks. Thanks for listening to this. See you next time. Shadows.